listen, don't mention the war. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it all right. So, it's all forgotten.
Hello.
Hello.
We're back.
We are.
This is Don't Mention the Fußball number 15.
15 indeed.
We're recording where we usually record.
Yep.
And we're going to talk about...
all sorts of stuff.
All sorts of stuff. Three games.
God, we're awash with games.
One of those English weeks.
Yes.
As the Germans call it.
Very strange English. Oh, that's me, isn't it? Sorry.
Okay, Simon. We're going to talk about...
not terribly English, but there you go.
Why don't you tell us what we're going to talk about? Which games?
We are going to open off, I think, with the game against Dortmund away. One or two things happened there. We're then going to go to the cup game against Darmstadt. A couple of things happened there too. Then we're going to come back to a team from Leipzig. I'll stick with just saying that. And one or two things that happened there and one or two things that didn't happen there. And then we're going to talk briefly, I think, or perhaps not so briefly, about the fanzine and things that have
gone. I'm afraid we have to.
I think we have to.
We both don't want to.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
After that, perhaps I'll mention the things that are coming up in the future, games ahead of us. And then...
we'll just ramble off as usual.
So. Yeah, we'll just talk.
So this is just talk what we anything. Want to talk about. We'll see if that works out at all. Okay, Simon, first of all, we want to say hi to everybody listening in the United States.
Hello. Hello.
And Simon wants to say hello to...
I'm not sure how you actually say this as a word, but...
Ulf.
Ulf. A Swedish listener that I had the pleasure of meeting, and his son before the match. Ulf, E-K, or U-F-F-E-K 70. Out there on Twitter. Very nice to meet you. Hello. If you're listening. that's how hello's done, I think.
We got that covered. On
Tick.
To match day number 9.
Ooh.
Dortmund Signal Iduna Arena. Oh my. Did you watch the game?
Westfalenstadion is chips off the tongue better, I think, even to me.
Did you watch the game?
Did I watch the game? No, I didn't. No. Not in real time, anyway. Family commitments back in England got in the way of that one. Did watch extensive highlights, however.
Which were great.
Which were pretty good, actually. They somebody chopped away all the not-such-good bits and left all the meat.
Okay.
Which was interesting.
So I'll just summarise what happened.
Yes.
In short, and then we can talk about...
You deal with all the facts, Jan, and I'll just do all the waffle.
And you're the fake news person.
Yes.
All right. Dortmund against Hertha at the Signal Iduna Arena. We had a goal against us in the 27th minute by English international Sancho.
Rising star.
Rising
young,
star.
Young lad. He's depressingly good playing for Dortmund.
I'm talking facts.
Oh, sorry.
Then Hertha got to equalise in the 41st minute by Salomon Kalou. The assist came from Maxi Mittelstädt.
Yay, Maxi!
Doing his first assist in Bundesliga. Mm. Competitive play. Then in the 61st minute, we had Sancho again scoring and going ahead 2-1. And in the 90+1 extra time... we had Kalou with a penalty after Davy Selke was fouled. Other things happening were the VAR assistant referee disallowed a goal in the 18th minute for Dortmund for Reus being slightly offside.
To be fair, he was.
Yeah, slightly.
It was by a boot.
And in the 55th...
serves him right for wearing a white boot, I say.
And in the 55th minute, we had a penalty awarded to Dortmund being taken back. Because Reus was fouled by Lusti, but he was clearly outside the box, which was pretty... everybody knew. So, yeah.
Fair play.
Fair play, right decision. The game started off with Rune Jahrstein at back, Rekik, Lusti, and Stark in the back. In midfield we had Maxi Mittelstädt, Arne Meyer, Per-Ziljan Schellbrett and Valentino Lazzaro. Then we had Duda and Kalou and Ibišević. Why are you laughing?
I was just fighting back the temptation to go, Duda, sorry. Couldn't do it.
I just hope we train him soon so you don't...
If you hadn't said anything, I wouldn't have done it. I was just smirking in the background, gentle listener. But no, he had to mention it, so off it came.
Okay, substitutions, 46th minute. Dilrosun came on for Schellbrett, who was slightly injured. And in the 57th minute, Zelke came on for Ibišević.
He pulled a muscle, didn't he, I think.
Yes.
It was a muscle. Yeah.
And in the 17th minute, I made a mistake. Sorry. 46th minute, Darida came on for Schellbrett. Zelke came on for Ibišević. And in the 17th minute, Dilrosun came on for Duda. So, Simon, what did your great British telecom sports highlights tell you about the game?
Well, it was quite good fun to watch. They kicked off saying the BT Sport commentators talking about deadly Dortmund with their attacking threat. I thought, this isn't going to work out well, perhaps. But
deadly Dortmund.
They were fairly deadly, actually. In all fairness, and I think they said something about us not having won there for, was it 5 years? So it's a fair old stretch.
And the season with Luhukay, they won with Gasbeck in goal 2-1. That was the last win there.
it sounded like Gasbag.
Gasbag.
Okay, sorry. I'm just lowering
Simon,
the tone of the
please.
Whole business. Yes, I'm getting hysterical here, gentle listener. I'll end up rolling around the floor in the background in a moment.
Having way too much fun.
Yes. One interesting thing from that game, a bit of an offshoot perhaps, was Maxi Mittelstädt coming in replace for Marvin. Marvin Plattenhardt. Which was interesting, especially as he came up with an assist like that. So it's quite pleasing to see. We weren't really expecting to get very much from that game. Well, I wasn't anyway, really.
We both said we could be well possibly going to be left with 0 points. And...
Yes, I think that was the most likely scenario. At least it felt that way going into it. I mean, Dortmund had been doing sort of quite well recently, I think it's probably fair to say.
And the beginning of the game felt like a storm. There was the storm coming in.
First 5 minutes, they were like waves breaking over us, really.
Yes.
I think is the analogy you want to try to look at there. It really wasn't looking good.
Not at all. And then the first goal was scored in the 18th, and you say, oh, here we go. It's going to be one of those games. This one was taken back, and then... they got the goal in the 27th minute by Sancho, and all these passes around the box.
It was looking quite slick.
Yes. They were just faster than Hertha, to be honest.
I mean, there were some chances and things. There's a few shots and things going in there. I think Stark got a header or something? I've got it written down, but it was straight at the keeper, really. So it really wasn't going to do too much damage, I don't think.
In the end we had shots, 19 shots for Dortmund, 11 for Hertha, but the other interesting stat would be that the shots on goal were only 5-4. So
it's probably more accurate reflection of how it turned out in the end,
but Hertha played a very courageous game. They had trouble in the back. You saw that a couple of times before the first goal was scored. I think it was only Rekic all by himself against three people.
Yeah.
Because Hertha was standing, they were pressing really high and just got out.
I mean, poor old Rekic. I mean, he was left completely high and dry there, really. Much as one person can do well against three people, you can't, he certainly tried. But.
And before the goal, there was another scene where Rekic just slides into the ball and saves it at the last second.
Yeah.
So it was quite a lot of work. And then all of a sudden, Mittelstädt has the ball on the left-hand side, and it looks like a counter-attack, but then three people mark him, and you think, oh, okay, it might be over, but he just looks up and crosses the ball all the way close to the box, and Kalou just somehow touches it, puts it in there.
Mm.
Then you see him lying on the floor.
It wasn't a pinpoint delivery, was it, through to Kalou? And Kalou did quite well to get it down and sort of control it.
And all the Dortmund players were just standing there, like struck by lightning. What just happened?
Hey, look, this isn't supposed to happen.
It was a nice picture seeing Kalou and Ibišević celebrating together.
It
was really nice. So we went into halftime.
Well, I think I'm picturing the right one here. Kalou was down on the deck, and Ibišević landed on top of him. I thought, hang about, steady on. We could do without any injuries here. But it was a good goal. It was a good goal. I mean, the pass, as I said, wasn't pinpoint, but Kalou did really well. Bringing it down and slotting the shot away. Good on him. Bang! First goal this season for Mr. Kalou.
Yeah.
I believe so.
That's right.
Cool.
And then we were at halftime, and it looked pretty well. What about the flares? We'll talk about now or later?
Well, we'll probably come back to that later on. Okay. Finish
the game first.
Well, okay, then.
Second half. Same spiel.
Yeah.
Everything. Dortmund was dominating.
Derida run for Schalbred, but we've already mentioned that.
Yeah, he was injured.
Pulled the muscle. Yes.
And then Ibišević went off. He already had a yellow card.
Mm.
And Zelka came in, who did quite well. I mean, he's been injured all summer, so...
Yeah. It's been... That's the general pattern, isn't it? That part of the way through the second half, Ibišević goes off and Zelka comes on for a bit of a run around. And he did okay this time. He did okay. I think just after half time, I got noted that Lazaro picked up a yellow card for something that was he was just pulling somebody back for no real reason, from what I can remember, which is a bit daft, but
I can't remember either.
It struck me anyway. Anyway, we digress somewhat.
You mean he was pulling him back?
Yeah.
So he was pulling his jersey.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely a yellow card, but why he thought that was a good idea to do that at that particular moment is a bit of a mystery.
Because he wanted to stop the counterattack,
well,
which would have been nice in some other games.
Leipzig.
Yeah. So Hertha was, let's say, lucky that Dortmund couldn't convert all their chances into more goals.
I mean, Dortmund were getting in behind with monotonous regularity, unfortunately. And as you say, Hertha were quite lucky in some respects that it didn't end up worse than it was. But that man, well, I have down 71st minute or thereabouts. That young man, Sancho, came in again.
61st.
Of course, must have had that written down wrong. But he is a promising young lad.
That's an understatement.
another way of putting it, bloody scary, really, if you're facing him. Audacious talent, that chap. But
the young British players.
Mm, there's some promising youngsters out there.
Aren't you proud about that?
Yeah. I mean, had to happen sooner or later.
You had a way better World Cup than... Some other countries.
To
the south.
Yes. Yeah. Better than they expected, but we will see. We will see.
We're digressing again.
We are.
Yeah. So the problem was that Dortmund did not finish the game. They didn't want to, whatever. They just didn't close. Or kill off the game.
It could have been really grim for Hertha.
Yes.
But it wasn't. They didn't take some of their chances, and some of the chances that they had, they didn't get them on target. And if they're not on target, you're sure as hell not going to score.
But then, when the 88th minute was coming up, I was absolutely sure that Hertha's not going to score a point. Because usually in the last minute, nothing goes right, and then they had all these long balls. Then Zelke had a header inside the box, which was really dangerous. And when that didn't go in, I figured, okay, it's over. And then somehow Zelke got the ball on the left wing.
Yeah.
Somehow Zagadou.
Zagadou. No, I won't. No.
Thank you, Simon. Well, Zagadou.
I sang the. I started singing the little song before we started recording, and Jan was burying his head in his hands.
And I was hoping that you had it out of your system, and it's not going to come back. But
no, I'm wrong. Sorry. I'm just childish.
What anyway,
that's put you off now, haven't it?
You totally put me off. We were talking about the Dortmund game.
We were.
What's a podcast? Don't mention the football. Okay, yeah. I'm back.
Yeah.
Well, Zagadou, the 19-year-old, had a little trouble with Zelke, and he somehow slipped past him, and then he fouled him.
Yeah.
And we had a penalty. And Kalou went to the penalty spot, and he buried it. And then... after another great save,
quite casually in some ways, he sent the keeper, Berkey, isn't it?
Berkey,
the wrong way, and he didn't exactly blast it in, but he just put it in a place where the keeper wasn't, and it went.
He totally went into the
wrong corner. He looked very relaxed.
All I could think of was the last penalty Kalou did in the cup match in Dortmund 2 years ago, which went all the way into the stands.
Yes. Into low orbit.
Yes, low orbit. But it went in. And then there was another save, I'm not sure, by Lusti or Mittelstädt in the last seconds of the game. And then it was over. 1 point in Dortmund, who were unbeaten. And I think they had amassed quite a run of wins.
Oh, cracks, yeah.
Earlier
yeah.
the week, they had beaten Atletico Madrid at home.
Yes.
So... not too shabby.
Not too shabby at all to get a point from that. And I think I sort of mentioned in my blog and things that we'd had a couple of draws previously where it felt, we got a point, but it felt like a loss, really. I mean, lots of people have said this, but it doesn't make it any the less true. But to go to Dortmund, who were in the form that they were, and manage to... get a point somehow or other by hook or by crook. I mean, that it felt like a win.
Yeah, but then you could also argue that Hertha had almost a week to recover, and
of course
Dortmund played a game in high intensity Champions League game under the week.
Yeah, I mean that's true enough. But a similar scenario would come back to bite Hertha later on.
So that's about it for the game part of the game.
Yeah.
What else happened, Simon? What did you tell us?
Well, so, something that certainly wasn't evident really from the BT Sport coverage of the game, and I gather it wasn't altogether evident from Sky and people that are watching it elsewhere, was quite a few flares and things were let off at the start of the game. I mean, how much do we want to talk about this now, or are we going to bring it all back later on?
We're going to bring it up later on, but just going to mention what happened. So there was a birthday party for Berlin Ultra Group Hauptstadt Mafia. Capital Mafia, in translation.
Yep. And Capital City, man. Mafia. Because it was their 15 years since they were formed. They had a big banner up, and there were quite a few flares going off before the match.
Which looked nice.
Which were very colourful. Lots of smoke, as is you see quite often.
And then around the 20th minute, there some more flares went off, one or two. And then the police tried to intervene.
Yes.
And that resulted in a lot more stuff.
Yeah. I mean, aggravation.
Yeah. And injuries and violence and whatnot.
Yeah.
Destruction of toilets.
Yeah. Toilet block was totally trashed. Yes. In underneath the away block.
Pepper spray used by the police.
Pepper spray used quite a lot. So
fans trying to defend their banner and fighting against the police.
They were using some of the long flagpoles and things that are used.
Which are plastic, not iron.
No.
As the media... kept telling everybody.
What?
Yes. Did they? Yeah, one journalist was...
It's amazingly floppy-looking iron. That's all I can say.
There was a journalist sitting at the press, you know, somewhere there in the middle where they usually are.
Mm-hmm.
And he tweeted that fans were fighting with iron bars. And everybody took that statement and put it in the broadcast.
You'd be having too much of the wacky-backy, if you ask me.
But still, violence against the police should not be condoned.
It certainly shouldn't. There was also, it was all over social media. Suddenly one of them had lit up a flare and lobbed that at the police. You can't do that. No. And certainly, trashing all the toilet blocks and things, in my view, you can't go doing that.
Well, we're going to go into this.
No place for the violence in football.
We're going to go into this whole thing. We have to,
we mentioned it now, but we'll come back to that later on.
Don't want to talk about that whole thing. Anyway, so that was Saturday.
Right.
And then we had the DFB Pokal.
Oh, yeah.
Or the FA Cup, you would say, right?
Well, it's the equivalent of the FA Cup, yeah.
But you have more cups than England.
Yes, there's, we're awash with cups.
How many do you have? Two, right?
Yeah.
The FA Cup, and what's the other one?
Oh, I always forget. Yeah, it's something else. The name changes every 30 seconds, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Then we had the second round of the Cup after Berlin beat Eintracht Braunschweig in the first round in Braunschweig with 2-1, where Marvin scored a goal and Ibišević scored a goal. And that was about it. There was nothing glorious about the whole affair. Hmm. And in the draw, Hertha got an away game in Darmstadt.
Yay.
Where we have good memories. We won against them 4-0 in the league back when they were playing in the Bundesliga. And I don't remember the other game. I remember the 4-0. That was a nice game.
That's a nice one.
Okay, you didn't watch that game either.
No, I'm just a slacker. What can I say? I've seen the highlights and things, of course, and seen all the stats and such like. But we started with Selke.
Yes.
This time. And Thomas Kraft.
We had Kraft on goal, then we had Plattenhardt, Rekik, Stark and Lazaro at the back.
Mm-hmm.
Meyer and Darida defensive midfield, and Dilrosun, Duda and Kalou, and Selke was the middle striker.
Yes.
And now I have to keep talking because you don't know anything.
I don't know anything anyway, let's be honest about it.
We had a few friends there. It's a very nice and old stadium, and I think it's being redone, so it was the last opportunity to be there and look at this really old, nice football stadium before they replace it, or they're already doing construction.
Hmm.
I haven't been, but it's supposedly a very nice old...
Oldie-worldie.
Yeah.
Changing rooms are sort of porta cabins.
Romantic stadium. Well, in the first half, I had a feeling that even though Hertha were playing a second division team, you couldn't really tell. Because somehow Darmstadt, they went into the challenges. They were moving. I think they were not really dominating, but they were playing at the same level as Hertha, and they were maybe a bit more gritty, playing physically. But Hertha, I think, could have gone both ways in the first half.
Mm.
Luckily, it didn't.
It didn't.
Selke, there were just a few chances, but I don't remember too many. And I think the shots were equal at halftime. And Selke later got into, I don't know, some quarrel with the referee. It just felt like everything he did, he was whistled for an offensive foul or something like that. There was one in the second half where there was a ball came over the right side and the cross came in, and I think Duda or somebody scored, but Selke was whistled for an offensive foul.
Mm.
So this one didn't really count. And then Dardai brought on
Ibišević
in the 64th minute. Also substituted in were Maxi Mittelstädt in the 83rd minute for Dilrosun and in the 90th minute Selke for Kalou. Do you have this thing in the English language where you talk about the jokers coming in?
No.
Because in Germany it's a big thing. It's always about the jokers and they make all these card game references.
I have noticed that.
The joker hits and everything.
Mm.
Apparently, Ibišević came in. And his first touch,
pretty much,
was a goal. It was his first touch.
Yeah,
was a goal.
It was actually.
I think Duda had a shot that was stopped by the keeper of Darmstadt.
Yeah,
and Ibišević was the first to get to the ball, and he just put it in there.
Mm.
And Hertha were up 1-0.
I mean, all he had to do more or less was tap it in, as I recall, because the shot sort of came off the keeper. The keeper didn't grasp it.
No,
and because it spilled out, Ibišević was where centre forward ought to be, and bang. Thank you very much. Super sub.
But still the game didn't change as such. I wasn't
goals never enough.
Yeah, and it didn't feel like, okay, this one's over or in the books. So it was going on and on and on. And it wasn't a nail biter, but I wasn't happy and saying, oh, okay, this one is in the books.
Not happy until it's all over and Hertha have won. I'm stupid, but I'm not that stupid.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
No, sorry. I lost my train of thought.
It's me. I keep on putting you off. I'm sorry.
Horrible idea. Yeah, and then nothing came of the attacks by Darmstadt, and in the 88th minute, the ball somehow came to Mittelstädt, who was also subbed in on the left-hand side, and he put in a really nice shot.
Yep.
Put past the keeper, his first goal for Hertha in professional competition.
Professional, yeah.
It was quite nice.
It was quite good, yeah.
And then the whole thing was over.
Yeah.
So all in all, I would say
2-0 up at that stage, then dropped that. I mean, it was a pass from Platten Hart through to Duda, who then knocked it on to Maxi. Bang. Quite a nice goal, actually.
Yeah.
Quite promising.
So the whole thing was, they won the game, but it wasn't really that great of an outing. they did the least they had to do.
Yeah, they did what they had to do, and that's fine and dandy. In my books, anyway.
And then we're going to mention the next round?
Next round, yep.
Why don't you tell us what happened?
Well,
it was yesterday evening.
Yeah, so they did the draw.
The luck of the draw.
Some random bloke that I didn't recognise. Yeah.
Oh, he was
pulling balls out of a tombola.
He was the first blind football player in Germany who won the Goal of the Month, which is Goal of the Month is awarded by Sportschau.
Silly me, not recognising him.
It's okay.
He did a fine job of pulling those balls out of her. And
you think he did?
Well, they all came out.
Well, the good thing is we have a home game.
We've got a home game. That's the positive side of things. So the Hertha ball came out first. And then it was some Bavarian team that we're going to have to sort of play at home again.
And it's not 1860.
No, it really isn't. So Bayern again, back in the Olympiastadion. But of course, we absolutely thrashed them the last time, so I have every confidence we do the same again.
Good for you.
Jan is not looking quite so confident here. He's looking a bit dubious.
No.
But
we can just hope they keep Kovac that long, so they might still be doing not so well as they're doing right now. But hey, we have a home game.
Hopefully the terrible four will keep their plotting and scheming ahead. At Bayern, and that will subvert the whole team. We might mention what the heck I'm talking about a little bit later on, possibly.
No,
okay, well, Bayern. We won't bother then. It's only Bayern, yeah, there's no point in talking about that.
Okay!
So, that was all good. 2-0, Pokal win. Now,
last but not least, and not the best game of the games we're going to talk about, you watched the whole thing.
I did, remarkably.
Poor you.
I was there. If we have any gentle listeners from from Wales. It was in the immortal words of Max Boyce, because I was there.
Whatever.
If you're not my kind of age, then you won't know what the hell I'm talking about. But just humour me, okay? I think Max Boyce is still alive. But there you go. Anyway, I digress once again.
Okay. Why don't you just start off with the facts, the sad facts, and then finish this off in as short a time as we can. Hertha against RB Leipzig.
Yeah.
Our least favorite team.
Yeah.
Home record against them is pretty shabby.
Yeah. I think you forecast a score of...
Oh, yeah.
2-6, was it? You forecasted?
Yeah, because the game started off like shit, and then I figured it's going to be the same.
Carried on.
It's going to be match day 34 all over again. Okay, just for the scoreline, we had some German striker scoring a goal in the 7th minute.
Yeah.
Then we had some German striker scoring a goal in the 53rd minute, and then we had Mateus Cunha scoring on a pretty nice shot from outside the box in the 75th minute.
Fair play to him. That was a corker of a goal. Yes. It's a shame it was against us, but you know, it was a corker of a goal.
And that was the final scoreline of 0-3 for the away team.
Yep.
We had, in the beginning, we had three people at the back. Of course, Rune was back in goal.
Yep.
And then we had Rekik, Lustenberger and Stark. Before them, it was Platte, Arne Meyer, Duda Lazaro, Maxi Mittelstädt and Kalou and Ibišević on the striker position. Mm-hmm. But I think they changed that whole plan after a few minutes because it wasn't working at all. Mm. Also, we had substitutions. Zelte came in the 59th minute for Ibišević. Dilrosun in the... I can't read. In the same minute, sorry. In the same minute.
Double sub.
For Marvin Plattenhardt, who had an abysmal game.
Yeah, it wasn't.
To say the least.
Not his finest hour, really, but hey.
In the 67th minute, you had Lecky come in for Kalou, but it all was for naught.
Yeah, too little, too late.
It was just a shitty game.
Yes, it didn't.
I don't know what else to say.
It didn't.
The shots overall were 23-13. For the guests, and the shots on goal were 11-5. And all I remember was that without Rune, who had a really, really good day,
yeah,
which maybe doesn't sound that convincing going on 0-3, but I think could have been easy.
Oh, it could have been 0-6
or something like
really,
that.
Really, really early on in the first few minutes, a fingertip save saved a certain goal. And it just went on a bit like that, really. Yeah.
He had this little duel with Werner, and Werner wasn't really happy because Rune stopped most of his shots.
Yeah.
And they were really, really big chances. But Hertha didn't... It started, and then the counter-press by Leipzig was just too much for Hertha. And in the beginning, they couldn't get any structure going. Mm. And then on defense, you always had the feeling that all the room in the world was there for Leipzig to play in.
I mean, our sort of midfield and defensive midfield were really, really busy. I mean, they were working very hard. I mean, they put in a lot of touches, a lot of passes, good passes. But you know, when they're that busy, it wasn't getting forward, and we were just being swamped, really. I mean, quite often I noticed that, you know, a Hertha player get hold of the ball and then suddenly they were just surrounded and ball was taken away and off went Leipzig. That happened time and time again, really.
And they often lost the ball right next to their box when they were building up the play. They lost the ball again.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, I think it changed a little bit after the first goal. I think they made some changes to the positioning in the field. Mm. I think they were back to four people in the back instead of three.
Mm.
And it went okay for some time. And Hertha had two or three chances. There was some hope. And I was so upset for having hope because I was sure there was going to be no hope in this game. And I became hopeful again. And they came back and scored before they had.
I mean, there were a couple of chances.
Well, they
scored before one point, Kalou.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong-footed.
Two chances in a row. And then the header that was stopped. And
didn't it wasn't really threatening. It wasn't a comfortable game to watch for a Hertha fan for all sorts of reasons.
At certain points, it wasn't as bad as it looked, but they had no chance.
Not really.
Some hope, but no chance.
I mean, they were 2-0 down, and when that third one came in, I mean, that was a bit of a call.
Then the game was already over, but yeah. I think the straw that broke the camel's back was the second goal. Because Hertha were about, they were keeping the ball in possession and doing some stuff. Then the second goal just happened. And
well, when it's just a goal, you've got a chance. I mean, a goal, you know, if it's you that's got the goal, that's never enough for security. And if you're only one behind, then you know you're still in with it. You're still in with a chance, aren't you? But that the second one really was a bit of a death knell. Especially with the way the game was unfolding, and every time we did get hold of the ball, our players seemed to. It was almost like if you get like a wasp going near a bee's nest or whatever, and then the bees, you'll get one wasp, and then I'm just sort of drawing analogies there, but then you've got a whole bunch of bees sort of on top of the wasp, and it was a bit like that in that.
So Hertha being the wasp in that.
In that particular instance, yes, but. Didn't end well for the Wasp in all the circumstances that I can recall.
Well, the second goal was especially Plattenhardt lost the ball on the left side, and all these Leipzig players, they always stormed to the goal. And then I remember Arne Meyer trying to foul his opponent, and he kept running and he couldn't foul him. He tucked him, did everything, and then the ball went in. And the whole thing was
he couldn't get close enough to him to which is a sorry reflection of the state of affairs on the night.
But the whole evening was just can I say shit show?
It wasn't nice.
It was the most unpleasant home game of the season so far. First home loss. And maybe if we stop talking about the sports side, or do you have anything to add?
I don't think so. No, I mean it's probably best sort of wash over to some extent.
And now we have to talk about all the other stuff.
The
off the court stuff.
Yes.
Off the pitch, and we have to talk about the fans' support or lack thereof, relationship between Hertha management and the fans or different groups of fans. How do we string this whole thing together? Let's start off by saying that the ultra groups were not talking or had not been talking to the management since last season, if I'm correct.
It's been an ongoing dispute, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, in the context of this particular match, after what had happened in Dortmund, I think it's probably worth mentioning that the Hertha management decided that they weren't going to allow any sort of banners and flags and such like in the stadium for this particular game.
Why don't you just go back to the whole flare incident in Dortmund and give some more insight into what happened? Flares or pyro and such in Germany is banned, and some say illegal, some say just not allowed. It's a misdemeanor, I think, and it happens quite a lot in stadiums. I think on the same match day, there were 4 stadiums in total where flares were set off, and the only game where something big happened was the Dortmund game. We mentioned the why the flares were there. And we mentioned that the police decided to try to take away the banner, which they claimed was used by, or as they call them, by the criminals, which is an interesting thing to say. They said that the banner was used to prepare for more crimes being committed. That's what the Brüssel police said.
Is it actually a criminal offence? Is it actually a criminal offence to let a flare off?
I checked. It's hard. It depends from where you get the flare from. If the flare is from Germany, it's a misdemeanor.
Really?
If the flare is from Poland and has not been certified.
Certified as safe or whatever.
Yes, then it's a crime.
Hmm.
Anyway, more flares went off. And usually what happens is the police, they have lots of surveillance. They film everybody on video. The stadium of Dortmund has lots of high-resolution surveillance video cameras.
Yeah, CCTV all over the place.
What? They have everything, and usually nothing happens. They just let people do this, and then in the aftermath, they try to. Of course, the DFB assigns a certain penalty for each flare to Hertha BSC. The club has to pay, and they try to identify the people, the perpetrators, and then they hit them with stadium bans and whatnot. But this time, the police was of the idea to think it was a good idea to take away the banner, which has been disputed by some people. I would count myself among them. It was a stupid idea to just to take the banner away, because that led to the escalation and the violence. Which is not to say that the police incited the violence, but that the police should always try to de-escalate. In my opinion, and not do something like that. Of course,
not make it worse.
We don't condone everything that happened: the violence, the fighting back, the flare throwing, the traffic, the trashing of the restrooms. But it's not that black and white as some people say.
Certainly not. No.
Yeah, and then you had the injuries: 45 people being injured by pepper spray.
I mean, there've been flares let off at a load of matches in sort of recent times without any injuries at all. And yet...
Just yesterday, on Sunday, there was a game at Mönchengladbach against Düsseldorf, Fortuna Düsseldorf, our next opponent. And there were four or something instances where they even had to stop play because there was too much smoke. And nothing happened. Nobody intervened. It's not to say that...
Nobody was hurt.
Nobody was hurt, yeah. And it's not to say that pyro is the coolest thing in the world and it should be done always, but maybe the police have a higher responsibility than the normal fan to de-escalate and try not to cause something like that. And next day they had a press conference by the police where they just claimed, oh, everything was fine and dandy. We did everything right, which... has been disputed by criminologists and different people. The Berlin Fan Project has come up with a statement saying that violence is not okay, but that the strategy applied by the police and them not actually
escalated it.
And they didn't talk to the club. They didn't talk to the people who were there on the scene, the people who took care of the fans or anything. They just went in there and did their thing. Simon, say something.
Which is slightly more than regrettable, really. Now, in terms of what happened on that night, I mean, the way Hertha themselves responded to that when it came to the next game, which was a week later, was to, as I mentioned previously, put the ban in place for banners, the big flags, and so on.
It happened Thursday, right?
Within the stadium.
They announced Thursday.
That. Was it Thursday, Friday? I'm not quite sure.
I'm not so sure either. But Hertha basically came out and said, okay, no more. At first, the statement read that there would be no banners, no Doppelhalter, no Blockfahnen. Everything was banned. And then after an hour, they changed the statement into saying that fan club flags and everything else was allowed. But still...
But in practice, there was
nothing.
Pretty much nothing, really, was there?
There was the one guy from Scotland.
There was one guy from Scotland. Well, it was a Scottish flag, anyway. That's usually just along... It must be in something like block four or five.
It's around the middle.
Yeah, it's something like four or five, that sort of block in the upper tier. There's usually a big Scottish flag with something written on it. I don't know. That was there. But that was about the only banner that was hanging from the upper tier. And there were down in the Ostquarter, there were a couple of flags, weren't there?
One.
No, there was definitely two. There was one biggish, just blue and white.
Yeah, that's the one I saw.
And then there was one other, smaller one.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that was it. I mean, normally the place is... There's hundreds.
And they're smuggling the banner saying against collective penalties.
Against collective penalties, which, yeah, because that shouldn't have been there by rights, but it was, and it was pretty well photographed.
Okay,
plastered all over the press.
So I had took action, and the fans reacted.
Yeah. I mean, there was no organised support, was there?
There was... Statement. No organized support.
Zilch.
Yeah. There was supposed to be a meeting last Thursday, which was postponed. And so we went to a game that felt like a wake. A bit.
It was a little bit, yeah.
It felt like a 1 minute silence of 90 minutes.
There was... In all fairness, when the Hertha team... They came up to the Ostquarter before the game, didn't they?
Did they?
Yeah, didn't you see that?
No, I didn't see
they
it.
They did. And they had there was applause, and I think people might have been shouting ha ho he as well, I think. But they came up, and they went up again after the match again. And again, there was a response from the Ostquarters. I think that sort of signals that, you know, between the ultra fans there and all the other fans that were in the Ostquarter, that it wasn't something against the team as such. I mean, that's the way I took it anyway, that they were supporting the team, but perhaps not the way things had been handled.
I heard two chants by parts of the Ostquarter against Keuter and one against Preetz. Pretty much in the beginning of the game. And there was something at the end.
That bit washed over me, apparently.
Yeah.
I mean, the atmosphere, well, like, there really wasn't any. which was kind of weird, really, to go to a Bundesliga match to be like that.
Which was quieter than one of those amateur games.
English games. Whoops. In the stadium, they tried the turning off the lights trick again, didn't they? To try to drum up some kind of atmosphere.
And they even had, they brought out Frank Zander.
Frank Zander, yeah.
Yeah, but he played his song live, but he also voiced his support for the Ostquarter.
Oh, did he?
He did, yes.
That again washed over me. Most things do, let's be honest about it.
Maybe it's your little lack of German.
Total lack of understanding about any language skills. I can barely speak English properly, let alone any other language.
Okay, so we had no support, which was just sad. And
it was, actually.
It has to be said that all other fan clubs, be they... ultras or whatever, there were no banners. We had a naked stadium.
Yeah.
It was a bit like...
That was weird in itself.
That was weird in itself.
You know, if our listener comes to Berlin and does the Olympiastadion tour, which you can do, it's really weird going in there and seeing the place, A, not filled with people, and B, without any of the Hertha signing. It just looks so odd, empty and sort of like naked, really.
You know, what my wife said, we were looking at the Oscar and she said, oh, these people all do have feet. Because usually you have all the bands, you don't see them, then everybody was standing there.
They have feet. It was a very strange atmosphere and not good. So what's happening about the fan scene now?
It's hard to... We can only speculate because you had information in the press yesterday that, okay, it was said that there was a round table planned with representatives of Hertha, representatives of the official fan clubs, some other people from the fan scene, and the ultras. It was supposed to meet this coming Thursday, because the original meeting was pushed back from the week before to this week. Then some press said that there was a prerequisite stipulated by Hertha that the ultras, if they wanted to attend this roundtable meeting, they would have to talk to management on Monday, which is today, and they said they're not going to go. So the press says it's not going to happen. That's what basically the whole...
There was stuff in there. Was it Tagesspiegel?
Yeah, everywhere. And the other stupid newspaper we're not going to mention.
No.
It's a little racist, fuckers. But I have information. I have heard from people that there is going to be a roundtable meeting. And the reasoning by the ultras was they're not going to come to this Monday thing because they don't want to talk to management. But they said that they like the format of a roundtable with everybody at the table. They would go there. So we can only see what happens and wait and hope for the best.
Yeah.
And there's...
It's a complicated... The whole business is complicated. And it's very easy to oversimplify it. I mean, there are issues on both sides, really. But the only way any of this is going to get resolved, to my way of thinking about it, is if the two sides talk. If either side saying, "Oh well, we're not talking to you," then nothing's ever going to get fixed, is it?
Yeah, but there's fault on both sides, so you can just...
Of course.
Some people just say, okay, it's the ultras' fault.
There is fault on both sides, without doubt. And in the case of what happened in Dortmund, it certainly wasn't all the Hertha fans' fault. I think the police have to take a certain responsibility for the things that happened. It wasn't any one side's fault. But people have to be... The only way any of this is going to get resolved is if both sides get together and talk. I mean, you I don't know if it's your idea, whether you plucked it from somewhere else, I don't know, but the idea of having professional mediation...
It wasn't my idea.
That's what I said. But I mean, that strikes me as a good one, wherever it came from.
It's a bit like a bad marriage.
Yeah,
or a bad relationship.
Yeah.
But then the whole conflict between fans and the club or the DFB is not singular to Hertha. It's a whole thing going on at the time, and there's been talks in 2011, and there were talk between the DFB and fan scenes all over Germany, and they were talking about finding ways to legalize pyrotechnics under certain aspects, and then these talks were discontinued by the DFB, and ever since then there hasn't been much.
I mean, I saw some things on the net. I mean, I saw one thing. I think I said to you about it earlier on, Jan, that there was a post on Reddit, I think it was, a person that claimed at least to have been there in Dortmund with their family, and they were saying that they didn't feel threatened by the presence of the pyrotechnics. I mean, I've gone on fan marches and things, and there's been smoke and things all over the shop. I haven't personally felt threatened by it at all. But this same guy then turned around and said, well, when the police started shooting pepper spray around the place, then that was, I mean, smoke is one thing. It isn't, I've been right in pea soup sort of, blue smoke, and it's not been any sort of problem, but pepper spray, different.
But then on the other hand, there was this thing on Twitter with a 10-year-old boy, I'm not sure, remember, writing this open letter to the DFB and to Borussia Dortmund, saying how scared he was and he doesn't want to come to games anymore because it's so dangerous. And there was mention of...
Really?
Yes. It was in Germany, so maybe you didn't catch it, but there was this handwritten letter by this little boy who said he was so scared, he cried, and he doesn't want to come back to games anymore. And so we always have these two extremes.
Call me a cynic if you will, but a 10-year-old boy handwriting a letter to the DFB saying that he was scared.
And it also said, copy two. Mm. So, anyway, you have everybody is entitled to their own opinion, and you have,
of course,
both sides. Yeah. But the dangers we have is what's going on in Hannover for quite some time now. They had a boycott. They boycotted the support, and it hasn't helped the team at all.
No. Well, it doesn't. It doesn't. I mean, what people have to keep into perspective, it's just my personal opinion, that the ultras and the organised support that they provide for the club, both home and away, is really sort of integral to the club in the way that it performs and people's experience and things in the stadium. But although they are important, they are not the club any more than, you know, the current management is the club in itself. Neither side are the club. They're both important to it. They're both important to it. And it's equally important that the two sides talk to each other and find some sort of resolution, I think.
And the whole conflict's not only about pyrotechnics or violence. It's also about the new marketing campaigns of Hertha BSC, which lots of fans feel alienated by.
Hertha have had an appalling track record of doing crazy things, really, that have really upset fans. I mean, sometimes I think fans have overreacted, like the mess with the pink shirts and things, I think was nothing, really. But some of the slogans and things that they've come up with before in the past, that you know, we try, we fail, we give up. I mean, that, what on earth were they doing?
Yeah, and it's also the fans have zeroed in on Paul Keuter, who's in charge of the digital transformation of the club.
And yeah, whatever that means.
Yeah, so he's been in the focus of the critique by.
I mean, having sort of banners sort of, you know, saying perhaps they don't want him, what have you, is one thing, but there was some personal stuff that cropped up.
I think 2-3 weeks ago there was a graffiti on his house
that's just wrong.
Ed Paul does have to live here, and that's also crossing the line.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but it's not a he said, oh, he's right, they are right, they are right. It's basically going to be about somehow trying to come together and find some way to coexist.
Yes.
So simple and so complicated.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. 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 Very well said.
We don't want to lose the fan support at all the games. I saw this one game. I've had enough. I'm done. Thank you. Please support.
Yes.
Maybe we should mention the little guy who tried to support from outside.
Yeah, his name was on Twitter, but I've forgotten what.
Yeah, he was interviewed by Morgenpost and everything.
He was, so I saw
he was in shorts.
He was.
And he tried to. He reminded me of this one Simpsons.
A lady of our acquaintance said that he must have been English because he was wearing shorts.
I did say
it wasn't me in disguise.
I was reminded of this one Simpsons episode where Homer gets really drunk. And then he dances in front of the stadium and the team wins or something like that. But maybe I'm just... Yeah. Okay, I see that wasn't productive thing to say.
Are you proposing that we should get really drunk and then dance in front of the Oscar and that will guarantee in some magical way that Hertha will win? It would almost be worth it.
Well, I think we just... There's no point where we can somehow, by talking about it, resolve the whole thing. It's just there, and we can just hope that it's going to be resolved.
That's all we can do. I just hope that the two sides get together, talk, and resolve something.
Because we could be in for a really, really grim couple of games.
Yeah.
If the support doesn't come back. So I just hope that the round table does happen.
Yeah. Pretty please.
Pretty, pretty please. Yeah. But then, I don't think the management sees what they have in the fans somehow.
I think that is on both sides. The management don't seem to appreciate the support and the difference that it makes having the fans in that organ. I mean, I think that's probably one of the key differences between football here in Germany as opposed to the football I've seen in England, is that the organised nature of the support and how much of a difference that can make. I don't think they necessarily appreciate that. Perhaps they're sort of thinking it more in terms of a business rather than a fan experience.
Yeah, but I mentioned before in the podcast, there's often I meet English people who just fly over here for the games, and all they say is, you have to somehow preserve that fan culture because we lost it and we're effed over there in England.
Yeah. I mean, people, every game, you hear people coming from all over the place. Ulf coming over from Sweden. And you hear people. I heard there were three English lads. I didn't, because I was doing a time lapse film and things at the time, so I didn't stop and talk to them. But they were approaching the game on Saturday, and I thought, you've picked a really tough match to come to if you've come to try to experience the Bundesliga, because it really didn't reflect what it was like or what it's normally like. People come from far and wide to experience, and you always see people raving on. Oh, it's a fantastic experience.
So I feel really bad for Ulf and his son.
I think it was his 25th. I think it was 25th, maybe 26th time. So he knew what it was normally like. It's more people that came and they were coming as a one-off to try to experience German football. And if they thought that's what it was normally like, then that's a real downer, because it really isn't. And if Hertha are trying to promote people to come and watch their games, they need to cultivate the relationship with the hardcore fans, if you like, for want of a better way of putting it. I mean, it's not the old duffers like Jan and myself, really. It's the people that. See, poor old Jan's bursting into tears now. But the difference is, yes, there's singing and chanting and behaviour that goes on from the upper tiers around the rest of the stadium. But only an idiot would say that it wasn't the Ostkurve, but that was the core to it. So Hertha themselves need to cultivate that.
Just think of the first game of the last season, the home game against Stuttgart, with a big choreography for Hertha's 125th birthday.
Yes.
That was so nice.
Yes.
But the relationship has been strained for quite some time.
It has.
So all we can hope for, again, I think we're going in circles, but all you can hope for is the whole thing being somehow to get better, because we don't want to go to games without support at all.
One-off is one thing, but it'll be pretty rubbish if it was like that.
So let's light a candle and pray for the best.
Indeed.
Indeed. Well, so this is all we can say about the whole affair. I think we mentioned almost everything, right?
Everything I can think of.
It's not a nice thing to talk about. What we didn't mention before was let's start with some nice things, because there were some positive things happening. You wanted to talk about Maxi Mittelstädt. Is that right?
Yeah. He's done okay. He's coming on, an assist and a goal like that. It's nice to see these young players coming on. He's had a good time of late. Okay, he was a little bit busy on Saturday, but that's a positive thing. Some of the young players, Duruson coming in.
Yeah, but especially Maxim Dutcher. Remember the last season or the season before when he came in for the first games, he was really in over his head and he was getting...
Oh, he's very much finding his feet now, though.
Yeah, and he was great. I think he was ejected once, and then people always went past him, and now he's really maturing into a better player, and it's so nice to see.
But it's quite good the way these players are being handled by... Dardai in the
or everybody It's not just that.
But you know, all right, the management, if you like, I mean, the
academy.
The coaching staff and the academy. I mean, we've done very well with some of these young players, and they're handling them well. They're not overplaying them and breaking them, really, when they're still young. But they're increasingly getting a crack of the whip, so to speak. And which is nice to see.
If you compare how the players are turning out now, if you compare it to, who was that guy who left? He played 2 or 3 games for Hertha and then he left for Frankfurt and now he's without a contract. Janni Regäsel, remember?
Oh, God.
He was a young player and he came in, he played 2 or 3 games and then he left because he said he didn't get enough playing time. Where is he now? Yeah. Nowhere. He's gone.
Yeah. So it's career down the tubes.
Yeah. Or,
because of impatience.
And you have Arne Meyer, of course, who probably will not stay here very long if he keeps playing like that.
Mm.
Yeah. So Mittelstädt was really a thing.
That was that's all quite promising. I mean, a lot of our young players and things, we've got quite a young... Okay, we're having a bit of a grim time of it at the moment, but it's... we've got some talented young players there, some of which have come up through academy, some of which they've been very fortunate to be able to buy in.
But if you talk about Dilrosun, if he keeps playing like that, he's not going to be here for long.
Yeah, but we might get enormously large amounts of money for him, which might help.
We can only hope.
Because only a little diddly club, but we haven't got an awful lot of money.
More positives at the away game in...
Düsseldorf.
No. Okay, let's talk about that first.
Okay.
Next game is in Düsseldorf
on
Saturday at the normal time, and I'm afraid I'm going. I still don't think it's a good idea. No. It's just the history is not the best between the two teams. Why don't you just... sum it up, what happened the last time they met.
I can't remember which year it was. There was a dreadful
2012.
Year. Was it 2012?
2012.
Awful
relegation.
Season. Awful season. And the last match of the season and whether Hertha are going to stay up in the first division, so to speak, was dependent on this one game. If they won it, I think they were just about okay.
And they won the game.
Did they?
They won the last game to make it to the relegation.
Oh, it was a playoff. Is it a playoff?
There's always a playoff, yeah. We just talked about the game before we started the show, remember? And you saw it on TV and how bad it was.
Yes. Well, it finished before the... I'm just starting to ramble and getting confused here, but because that last game there, that's when it sort of finished before time and the Düsseldorf fans came onto the pitch and started...
Lots of pyrotechnics.
Digging it up. And
violence things. Broke out.
It was just horrible.
Yeah. Kobayashvili was banned for half a year for allegedly hitting the referee.
It was so bad in all sorts of... And there was... Because Otto Rehagel was the manager at the time. He'd been called in to fill in, hadn't he, at the end of the season. So try to save... So
the end of
relegation.
A long string of matches going through.
The whole season was just a mess because that's the one that started off with Babel, wasn't it?
Was Babel, and then they had this little quarrel, and then he left.
And then he wouldn't re-sign his contract.
They brought in Skibbe.
Skibbe. It was awful.
0 points and no goals.
Yes, it was just awful. And I think that's when they brought Otto Rehagel in, wasn't it? I don't think there was anybody else in between.
I'm not sure. It was a mess. Let's say it was a mess.
It was a horrendous season that's best forgotten about, so I don't know why we're talking about it, really.
Because we wanted to talk about the significance of the match against Düsseldorf.
Yes, I guess so.
So the last meeting was in the relegation playoff.
No.
It didn't end well.
No.
I don't think there's too many Hertha fans who say, hey, Düsseldorf, my favourite club.
No.
So that is... Yeah, it's very charged.
Yes.
The whole thing.
So in the context of what's been going on recently, that'll be interesting.
So we're not sure if there's going to be any support at the away game.
Yes. Yes, I wondered about that. But
I don't like Düsseldorf as such. My dad's a fan. I can speak about this publicly now. still hurts.
Yes.
My dad is a fan.
He is a therapy.
Last time I came to their house, he was wearing this Düsseldorf jacket. It's hard.
It is hard. Yes.
So we're going for the away game. It's one of those games where you would say, hey, it's so easy because they're tied for last place. They're one of the teams that have one of the, they have one of the lowest budgets in the whole league. They won the second division last year, but they're not doing well. So if it wasn't Hertha, I mean,
there's always a big difference, isn't there, between the second
but
tier.
But if it wasn't for Hertha, one would say, oh, it's an easy away win for Hertha.
Yes.
But knowing our beloved Hertha, it's not so.
Our capacity for messing things up is almost boundless.
The good thing is we're going to visit family, so I have something else to do there. We can just hope that.
Because there's a whole bunch of people
going
that we know of.
We'll see what happens.
Indeed. So that's that.
Yeah, and the positive note we want to end on was Peter Niemeyer.
Peter! I have fond memories of Peter playing for Hertha. I always thought he was a sound fella.
He was. He played for Hertha.
Mm-hmm.
He was their captain.
He was.
When they were promoted, right? Then he went down and he came back up. Then they shipped him off to Darmstadt.
Mm.
And now he stopped. Had to stop playing because of injuries. And he had this. There's a certain arrangement between him and the club, Hertha.
Yeah.
That is. For some future employment. But it's not really... Nothing else has been said about it. And he was interviewed on a couple of news outlets and said that he's going to meet with Preetz soon, talk about it, but he's not really sure what to do. He's doing his...
That's good. You said he was doing his coaching badges.
His coaching thing. So... But he's a really... Let's just talk about that. But he was just a great person.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
He was had his farewell at halftime.
A few times, thanks for a friend of mine, I went down to hospitality after some of the matches. I think I went down 3 times back in the day. And I sort of met him down there, got a photograph and things with him. Nice guy.
Back when you were famous.
I've never been famous. I never want to be famous. But he was a nice guy.
Yeah, there was a... he was... At halftime in Darmstadt, he talked to the fans.
He was wearing a dodgy hat at the time, though.
What?
Peter. He had one of these sort of...
On Wednesday?
No. Okay. He had one of these sort of big sort of floppy beanie hat things. But
it's cold.
But I won't hold that. It wasn't cold down
anyway,
there. It was boiling down there. What are you
Peter Niemeyer had his farewell sending off by Darmstadt, and he was very happy that it also happened when Hertha was there.
Yes.
And it was quite touching.
Hmm.
I heard from friends because Sky, what they did is they said, oh, here's Peter Niemeyer. And then they went to commercials. So I didn't see anything of that, but it was really touching. He had a son with him. His son was wearing a Darmstadt jersey and he got his salutes and applause from from the stands from Darmstadt. And then his son took off the shirt and he was wearing a Hertha shirt and he went over to the Hertha fans. Oh, I got goosebumps now.
No, that's good. I mean, not all of that, but a bit of that, because I watched the sort of highlights on the Sportschau. It was a Sportschau thing on YouTube, I think it was. And there they showed him going over towards the Hertha fans and they were sort of shouting out his name, which was, he still loved that. So
he's a class act.
Yeah. Yes.
Always been.
Yes.
Well.
On that cheery note.
If I look at my list, we're kind of done with all the topics we want to talk about. You said before this episode that we should really, really not forget to talk about.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Yeah, they are.
Come on, Simon.
Well, has us here slaving away for a whole afternoon trying to deliver this wonderful audio masterpiece for you. So if you appreciated it, then please take a visit to iTunes and give us a like and say something nice if you can manage it.
Where can people find us?
Well, on most of the sort of social media stuff, it's DMTF podcast.
Yes.
So it's stick an at in the front of it and you'll find us on most places.
And we're very active on Twitter and on... on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
We don't really like the Facebook too much. It's
I do eventually put something back up on Facebook, but
I go there once a week. It's just anyway.
On Instagram, I'll put up the occasional holiday photographs of me wearing my hair to shirt in random places. But so if you're interested in that, then fine.
Yeah, like us on all the social media outlets.
Yeah.
Our website is www.dmtfpodcast.com.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And we put sort of links to various things, like some of the links to some of the articles and things on the net about the goings on in Dortmund. Well, it's already in place, really, ready in a draft.
Yeah, but there isn't much in English. You have 800 articles in German.
Yes, there is, but some of them are in English.
I found one. Anywho,
Deutsche Welle did one.
Deutsche Welle. Mm-hmm. They had a commentary in German where the guy said that they should just what do you call these things that throw water? Water throwers?
A water cannon.
Yeah, they just should take water cannons to the stadium and shoot at the people.
Really?
Which is not really
that's positive. Yeah, it's very constructive. Yeah.
But let's not get back into this.
No.
We will be back after the next home game against Hoffenheim. Until then, it's just this thing you always say, and I keep messing it up with the farewells. It's a goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
Bye.